Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to this, the first episode for 2019 of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I hope you had an excellent holiday season and that your Christmas was filled with blessings and most especially with the great joy of re-celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and that your new year is off to a great start. Mine has been so filled with family, which is always just my happy place. So I'm just absolutely excited that this year... Even now, just a few days after the start of the new year, I am definitely still celebrating the joy of Christmas. And for that, I'm very, very grateful. I'm also super grateful to have a special guest on the show today. It seems very fitting that that our guest today, Eva Mantine, should be the first guest for 2019 because we are anticipating something so, so special. And Eva is basically the manager of marketing for Ignatius Press, but she's also the founder and co-chair of the Walk for Life West Coast, which is getting ready to happen on January 26th this year. And this year will be the 15th annual one of these events. I can't believe how much it's grown. And we'll definitely have some video footage over at the blog for you to take a look in real life at what those numbers look like of people. But we're so happy to welcome Eva to the show today. Welcome, Eva. How are you?
Hey. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm very honored to be your first guest of the year.
Well, I can't think of a better place to start. I mean, I love telling stories, and this is such a happy story, but it's also a compelling story and one that needs to continue. But before we jump into the walk, I always like to ask my guests to start off with just tell us a little bit more about your personal story. What's significant to you in your story and where it brings you to this point of your life right now?
Well, I guess if you want to go back to the very beginning, I was born in Hungary, and I guess it's a little bit fascinating. In fact, Father Fessio, my boss, always introduces me like Eva Mantine from Hungary who escaped in the trunk of a car through the Iron Curtain. So I guess if you want to go all the way back, that's kind of a fascinating part of my stories. And my father was very dissatisfied with communism and wanted to get out desperately. So he took his whole family, wife and three kids, and got in the trunk of a car and got driven through the Iron Curtain and to freedom. So I start with that because, you know, I owe everything to my father for his strength and his courage. And I always get emotional when I talk about him. He's an amazing man. But anyway, so we started there. And then I was raised in Indiana and lived in Texas, came to California. But I've always been, you know, thinking about life in the sense that I could never understand why it is that women do that. Why did they feel the compulsion or the need or the desire to do that? And so, but it didn't really take form until I moved here in San Francisco and started working at Ignatius Press and started really dwelling into it. And for the fact that I went to March for Life. March for Life was a game changer for me because I was so moved by the numbers, by the fervency and, you know, all your peers, you know, standing up for life. And so, so I came back here to San Francisco, and a friend and I, we had done a marriage rally because Gavin Newsom here did some illegal, allowed some illegal marriages here, of same-sex marriages. And so we decided to put together a marriage rally. And within 3 weeks, we organized it, had speakers, everything, and we had 1,500 people show up. We were so amazed that in 3 weeks, we were able to do that. And so we thought with the combination of just been to the march and then this momentum that we had from this marriage rally, we thought, well, what else can we do for the West Coast? And we thought there's so many people from here that can't go to the March for Life because it's just, you know, it's just a big trek from here to there. So we thought, well, why don't we do a sister event to the march where, you know, the march focuses on the laws and the politics and they do it Monday through Friday. And we thought, well, let's do one on a weekend closest to Roe v. Wade, but focuses on how abortion hurts women and make it more about the women. So that's kind of how the walk started and how I got involved in it. And I have to say that working at Ignatius Press was a, you know, very helpful, especially working in marketing. I learned a lot about how to get the word out. And so we know we've been pushing on it and growing ever since.
That's
fantastic.
I hope
that kind of sums it up for you.
It does. And it prompts several questions. I think, first of all, it's clear to me that you're raised by a warrior and that you're that tenacious attitude is definitely in place with you. And so I'm kind of curious about when, I guess, first of all, I can't imagine that anybody listening wouldn't know about the March for Life. But I'm kind of curious about what prompted you to go for that very first time and how, you know, that experience was for you. I have to say that I have unfortunately never been to the March for Life. I've only seen video footage of it. And I think it prompts a certain amount of misunderstanding from people who've never been there and who don't really understand the cause at hand. So, you know, what prompted you to want to go and what was that very first one like?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so the reason that I went, kind of a couple reasons, it was an election year, so it was inauguration was that same week. And also, I have friends out there in Virginia, and those friends, you know, big families and et cetera, who go to the march. So basically, it was a combination. And I also had a nephew out from Texas who was also out visiting. And so it was just a no-brainer that we're there. You know, we've heard so much about the march, and we thought, well, let's just dedicate that day and let's just go check it out. And so it was kind of a combination of events and the reason that we ended up there. But it was amazing how it worked out because my co-chair on the walk, Dolores, completely separate from me, but she was also there. So we were all there at the same time. We met up there and we were all just so moved. I mean, to be in those crowds and to feel the joy of life and standing up for life. There's just nothing like it, and I really encourage you to go. You'll be so rejuvenated. I mean, you just get confirmed in your resolution in protecting life, and you just want to recreate that experience so that others can go out into the world and do it themselves, you know? Because, like, from our Walk for Life, there's so many events around here that sprung from the people that came to the walk. So those are the kinds of reasons that we do it, because people get energized when you come to these events and you just feel like you must stand up for life.
Yeah, you
so
realize
I encourage
that
everyone.
Yeah, you realize in the midst of a popular culture that might make you think otherwise that you're not alone in your desire
exactly.
to do this.
Exactly.
And I do think that's a work of the Holy Spirit. All those, you know, you can look at little projects that have happened within the church where somebody just came forward to say, you know, I feel strongly about this, and that work then goes on to spur other things. So if you're somebody who's listening and, you know, you have an idea, but you think, oh, I'm only one person and, you know, what can God do through me? And I don't have any money and it's too hard. Look at Eva. I mean, look at what you and Dolores started. And so with those first numbers now, I just want to know logistically to pull off something like this. When I was looking at the video, I mean, I've been to San Francisco many times and I just know that you must have to go through a lot of kind of logistical planning with the city to do this. So you must have learned some new things about putting on an event of this nature. Can you share some of that?
Sure. Yeah. It's been quite a journey. The first year, I don't think even the city realized what was going to happen. They probably thought we were like a little gathering. So we didn't have to do too much at first year in terms of, and we just had to let them know. We applied for the permits and everything went pretty smoothly until the higher ups in the government found out about it. And then they came out in full force against us. They even had a city proclamation for that first year. On our day, they proclaimed that the pro-choice day in San Francisco, et cetera, because they were just so enraged about it. But basically, the working with the city, because they have to follow the rules, if they were to shut us down, they'd have to do that with other, you know, events that they agree with. So they were pretty fair in terms of letting us do it. They can't really shut it down, you know. You can't say no to somebody who legally is trying to have an event. It's just not something that I think they realize that would look very bad on them. And then working with the police department here in San Francisco has been an amazingly great journey. They've been with us from the very beginning, totally come out in full force to protect us, easy to work with. I mean, I can't speak highly enough of the police department here in San Francisco. So in terms of doing paperwork, it has gotten more and more every year, no question about it. We've got to jump through way more hoops now than we have ever have in the past. But it's all doable, and we just brace ourselves. We have to pay more money now than we had to before. First couple of years, we didn't even have to pay because it were a First Amendment, you know, event. But then, you know, then you add these little fees to it. So, I mean, it's always getting more, but it's doable, and we feel like it's well worth everything that they put us through to put the event on. So it's okay. We make it work.
Spoken like a real trooper. So with this being the 15th annual, what are your expectations in terms of the numbers of people who might come out for this year's event?
Well, we've pretty much covered the size of the largest plaza in the city. There's really nowhere else we can grow to. So we've been pretty, for the last couple of years, we've been pretty steady at the 50,000. So I think we've maybe plateaued. Maybe we'll add a little bit more. I don't know, because you don't have to register to come. So it's really hard to gauge, you know. We usually get around 200 buses. And that's a chore. I have to do a shout out to my friend Rodney, who coordinates all the buses, because if you can imagine in San Francisco to park 200 buses, it is, we literally shut the city down.
I have a hard time parking a Mini Cooper there. So,
that's a real coordination effort. So, and he does a fantastic job in making sure every bus is parked properly and doesn't, you know, causes the least amount of traffic jams and all of that stuff. So we have a little bit more room to grow, but really not much more. So we're happy at where we are.
And Eva, is it actually a walk, or are the folks walking? And what if you can't walk? And
sure.
So
basically what we do is we started about 11 o'clock. We have an info fair where we have about, I think, like 50-some vendors who can come and get a table in the info fair area, and they can hand out their information so that people know about all the services in the area. And so that starts at 11. And also Silent No More has an event at 11 where the women come up and give their testimony of their, you know, their abortion testimonies. So then at 12:30, we have our speakers. We have four great speakers this year, and including Abby Johnson.
Wow.
So we're very excited to have her. But anyway, so we have the four speakers, and it lasts an hour from 12:30 to 1:30. And then at 1:30, we start walking. And it's really, I think of all the walks, this is probably the most beautiful, but when you get to the end of the walk, you're on the waterfront. We end right on the waterfront in San Francisco. So it's not too long. I think it's just under 2 miles or something. So it's not a long walk. So it's doable for most people. And I know San Francisco is known for its hills, but the walk we have, it's pretty, you know, pretty hill-less.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. So it's not bad, but we also have relief vans. So if those who want to come and they're not sure they can make it, no problem, because we have several, we have like 7 or 8 vans that follow behind the walkers. And if anybody who can't make it or just doesn't, you're too tired or whatever, you'll get picked up and taken to the end in the vans. So we do have something for those who can't make it.
That's great. And so you see full families with little kids all the way up to grandmas and grandpas coming out for this. And it's not just a Catholic event. It's really open to anyone who wants to proclaim the dignity of human life. That's, you know, more and more so in a culture where, you know, we're looking to take care of ourselves. We know the critical nature of this. And so I have lots of friends who don't share my Catholic faith, but who share this conviction about the dignity and precious nature of every human life. So everyone's welcome, right?
Exactly. In fact, one of our speakers 1 year was Monica from A Secularist for Life. So they, you know, we invite everyone who stands for life to come join us. We try to make sure that we represent in our speakers the different faiths or you know, like this year we have Baptist preacher Walter Hoy. So, I mean, we try to make sure that no one feels excluded. If you believe in the sanctity of human life, you are welcome.
And if you have big questions, this is a place, you know, these events are not a place to go and be belligerent and argue, but it's a place to go and learn and with an open heart to maybe hear something that you haven't heard before. And I think particularly through the witness of women who've experienced this, there can be great healing brought forth from events like this. So tell us about, now I know you most regularly through your work with Ignatius, and I know that while Ignatius is not, you know, the creator of this event, I think that your involvement signals that they're a great partner to the event. And you mentioned that one of your speakers has a book coming out this year through Ignatius. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Oh, Ignatius Press is definitely, I mean, I can say honestly and that without Ignatius Press, the event would not be what it is today. I mean, the entire Walk for Life quote unquote office is Ignatius Press, and all our meetings are at Ignatius Press. My bosses, I mean, everybody totally understands that during the few months leading up to the walk, I may be a little behind in my other work, and they're totally, totally supportive. Everybody comes to the walk. You know, Father Fessio has never missed a single walk, even when he was living in Florida. So, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, backbone of what happens is through Ignatius Press. So I want to make that clear, because my hat's off to them for you know, being such a supporter. But one of our speakers this year, Walter Hoy, who has been with the Walk for Life from the beginning and who is just a fantastic human being. I'm so honored to call him a friend. And while he's been on stage every year with Reverend Childress or with a different speakers, this year we decided he must be one of our actual speakers. And it just happened to coincide with the fact that we've been working for about a year on a book about his, you know, being arrested for praying in front of an abortion clinic. And his story is just so fascinating. So it's called Black and Pro-Life in America, and it's just an amazing story. So he's going to be one of our speakers, and he's one of our authors. so it kind of works out nicely.
Nothing like having your book launch in front of 50,000 people. That's amazing. That's so
exactly.
Great. That's great. And I'm sure he resonates in a way that's different from the women who come up there or anybody else. So that's fantastic for him to have that platform.
Yeah.
And he's
a local. Yeah, and he's local. He's from this area, and that to us is also important to make sure that we feature people who are from our direct area here. So that's, he lives across the bay here, and he's been, like I said, he's been with us from day one. So yes, we're very, very pleased that he'll be telling his story at the walk this year.
That makes me happy, because as a Californian now, I'm in LA, but I know a lot of times in the church that people will, the minute they hear you're from California, they kind of write you off and go, oh well, oh California, it's so crazy out there. And it's, I mean, I know your archdiocese, I've been up there to speak, and I know ours as well, and and the faith is very vibrant here and expressed in so many beautiful ways. So don't diss us Californians, folks.
Exactly. Every time I go anywhere and they find out I'm from San Francisco, it's the first thing that I hear is, oh, how can you live there? Well, you know, it's number one, it's beautiful. Number two, there are such good people here. It's just, you know, we're just in the minority, but that doesn't mean that you write off the whole place. Plus, we are the city of St. Francis here, and so St. Francis is not going to let us down. I have every confidence that this is going to turn around. So it's just a long battle, just like St. Francis fought, and we're going to get there, though.
Well, I always have this sense, and I think you probably do too, Eva, that, I mean, in our day-to-day life, that we have an opportunity to be a different kind of missionary, and that we represent, you know, the church sometimes overtly and sometimes just by being kind and loving in the places that we live. And so there's lots of opportunity for that in California. I can't ask about locals without talking to you about your wonderful dog, because I have had the opportunity of having my picture taken. Tell us about your sweet, sweet puppy.
She's... Oh my goodness, my sweet Mia. She's oh my goodness. She's a little rescue. She's a little mix. She's like half Chihuahua, half Dachshund. She's called a Chiweenie. And so she goes with me everywhere. Cause all my life I had big dogs, and then I couldn't. You know, when my two big dogs died, I just couldn't live without a dog. I've had one all my life, but I couldn't have a big one. I don't have the time. So I went and got this little dog from a rescue, and now she goes with me everywhere. She goes every year to the Walk for Life, and she's in so many pictures. But like you said, what I do is, you know how when you, because I do a lot of conferences for Ignatius Press, and I get to meet a lot of important people like yourself, and I always see people saying, could I get a selfie with you? Could I get a selfie with you? And I didn't want to do that, you know? So I decided that I would, every time I saw a famous quote-unquote person, I would, instead of asking them to take their picture with me, I would say, hey, would you mind if I took your picture with holding my dog? So now my wall at Ignatius Press is covered with, like, you know, I mean, Cardinal Burke, Bishop Barron, Raymond Arroyo, you know, all these, everybody from EWTN, Father Pavel. I mean, it just goes on. It's over 100 now. So, and so she's gotten to be known as her Mia's Minions, you know. So you're one of Mia's Minions.
Well, I'm honored, and she's adorable. And I mean, it just goes to show you that something as simple as having a furry friend, you know, that can build bridges to people, and it just makes us smile. So I want to thank you for sharing Mia with us on social media.
As one of
your/her followers, I always get a kick out of seeing her out and about, and I'm happy to hear that she'll be at the 15th annual Walk for Life. That's amazing. Well, I know you're in the big lead up again. The date for this year's event is January 26th, and it's up in San Francisco. For information about how to register, or actually you don't even have to register, but for information about how to get there and all the details, you can go to the website, which is walkforlifewc.com. We will have links to that website and to other pertinent information over wherever you're listening to this blog in the show notes. You'll find it there. And Eva, I'm sure, is happy to answer any questions through the website. There's ways to get in contact there if you want to bring a group or something like that. So Eva, any closing thoughts before we let you get back to the logistics and the planning?
Well, I, you know, if you, not that you've mentioned Mia, you might want to put up your picture with her.
Oh, yes.
In the article, then people might want to see what she looks like. But yeah, if you want to meet her, come on out and join us on the 26th. She'll be there, you know, up on stage. And but anyway, yes, it's so important. And for people that are listening from, you know, from other states, it's amazing how many of these walks are around the country now. So I would encourage everyone to check out, you know, just do Google search, you know, in your area. I know that they're spreading like crazy. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at the Rose Dinner for the March for Life in Chicago coming up in a week and a half. So they're just getting everywhere. So I just encourage everyone in your area, or come see us, come see beautiful San Francisco and join us. We'd love to have you. We've got two ex-Planned Parenthood employees who will be speakers, Abby Johnson and Patricia Sandoval. And this is so amazing to me, and I just love it. Both of them are pregnant.
Wow.
So they're going to be, so they're going to have their baby bumps up on stage, you know, talking about, you know, their past. And both of them have amazing stories, just absolutely amazing stories. So we just encourage you to come on. And if you can't come, just at least watch on EWTN.
Absolutely. And make sure to keep this effort in your prayers.
Started this to see so many pro-lifers in one place. Give yourselves a hand. All the way back in the back.
In this sanctuary city, also known for bridge building, we are all stating loudly in this walk for life, abortion hurts women, period.
Heal our nation. Let's hear it. Heal our nation.
I think it's important everyone knows that abortion is not just an issue we can ignore. It's actually the extermination of human life, and maybe some people don't think of it that way, but that's what it is.
This is an issue of unity of ages and nationalities and generations, you name it. Everybody here is for life, and so we are in union with that.
We are pro-life! We are pro-life!
I see it. You know, the number of abortions are going down. We're winning. The culture of life is winning, and I'm so proud to be a part of that.
We see a successful future for us, a future that holds the dignity and the principles of all life at a high standard.
And as it's been said, no matter who's in the governor's seat, no matter who's in the Senate, no matter who's in the Congress, it is our time. Hallelujah.
Well, a huge thank you again to Eva Mantine and the entire crew at Walk for Life West Coast. We are so grateful to them for their efforts and to you for listening to this story and for keeping this initiative in your prayers. I know a lot of you won't be able to come out, but as Eva mentioned, the Walk for Life West Coast will be aired live on EWTN, and we'll have links in our show notes for that information. Bear with me, folks, as I'm fighting a little bit of a cold this week. You heard a little cough at the end of the podcast interview. And hopefully I'll have my voice back good and ready for next week. But too many great stories to tell. So had to get this one in for this week. So I hope that you have a wonderful week, that your story unfolds beautifully here in the beginning of 2019, and that you'll join us again next week. Until then, have a great week, friends. God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.